The scripture this morning is taken from verses of Matthew in chapter 13, from three different parables. These parables are illustrative stories that Jesus drew from nature and human life so people could relate to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's watch this opening video. Welcome to the Living Water Church. Welcome back to worship as we continue in our current series that it's called Kingdom Treasure. We've been taking a look at different passages of Scripture in the Gospels where Jesus is offering deep spiritual truths about what the kingdom of God is like, what was coming at that time. And so the first week we uncovered that the kingdom of God is like a treasure that's buried in the ground, and it's full of incredible value, and it's worth any sacrifice to have it. Second week, we discover that the kingdom of God will begin small and insignificant, but when placed in the hearts of faithful people, it can make a huge impact. Today, we're going to search through the scriptures again for a new kingdom truth. On the screen and in your notes is this huge tomato plant. We'll see once that gets up there. Waiting. There it is. Can you imagine growing a tomato plant like that? It's pretty impressive. Not a lot of leaves, just a whole bunch of red tomatoes. How'd you like to have to can all those tomatoes? I mean, that'd take a while. And it's hard to believe that that plant began as a tiny, small seed that was placed in the ground. Before it had any roots and a stem and branches and leaves and fruit, it was nothing more than just a tiny little seed. It takes a lot of time and patience to see that kind of growth take place. It takes the right kind of soil and conditions to receive a harvest from a tomato plant. The scripture passage that we're visiting today has a lot to do with this plant. Our next kingdom treasure is found in a parable or a story that Jesus tells a group of people. Jan just read the passage of four different parables. We're going to be looking at that last one in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in 31-32, where it says, here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. And so as you read the New Testament, you begin to see that there's just a lot of agricultural illustrations that are used over and over again. And this is because, you know, a large number of people who Jesus were speaking to and teaching were farmers. So Jesus used a farming motif to teach the spiritual truth. He says that the kingdom of God is like this little tiny mustard seed that's planted into a field. You know, the first thing to know is that the mustard seed is incredibly small. Have you ever seen it? It's just like a sand of grain right there up on that screen or in your notes. It's just this little tiny dot. It may be 1 or 2 millimeters. Because of this, when it's put into the soil, it would just simply disappear without a trace. But after a short time, the seed would sprout and it'd begin to grow. It'd burst through the surface of the dirt and then it would grow into a very large plant. Some mustard plants would grow to be over 6 feet tall. The text says that it would become so large in the garden that birds would come and perch in its branches. And that's our first point. The kingdom of God is a seed. Jesus tells his listeners that this is what the kingdom of God is like. It is something that grows over time when it's planted in the right environment. This kingdom is a treasure that begins tiny. It's exemplified in the single person of Jesus, and then it's replicated in the lives of his disciples and eventually multiplied into millions of people worldwide. It begins in this tiny location of the Middle East, and now it's gone throughout the whole world. The Global Methodist Church began in the hearts of God-honoring, Bible-believing Wesleyan Methodist pastors and lay leaders. It was watered by the Wesley Covenant Association as the reality began to be evident that our former denomination was drifting farther and farther from biblical standards. What started out as just a few churches 2.5 years ago has grown to over 4,600 local churches organized into 31 provisional annual conferences all around the world. What began as just a small renewal movement has grown into a worldwide Methodist denomination. Cheryl and I met Kenneth Colici in Costa Rica at our convening general conference. There's a picture of him with his family. In the United Methodist Church, he had been the assistant to the Bishop of Zambia. Seeing where the denomination was headed, he stepped down from that position that had provided him a home for his family and a good salary, and instead became a pastor with no income, just meeting home to home, relying on God for his support. 10 months ago, Zambia became a provisional conference and elected Kenneth as their superintendent. Just this week, he sent me a message and it said that in 10 months, their membership has already grown to 3,200 people. In just 10 months. The smallest action directed by God, done in faith, can grow into a major kingdom impact. The tiniest gift that can become a great blessing. Just a little bit of faith can grow into faithful obedience. The kingdom, it's like a seed, and it grows when it's planted in the right environment. There's another passage of Scripture right here in the same chapter of Matthew, in chapter 13, where Jesus tells a story about seeds of the kingdom to help us kind of get a better picture of all this. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9, it says, he told many stories in the form of parables such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon withered under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And so this story begins with this farmer who's just gone out into his field to sow some seed. The seed in this story is incredibly valuable to that farmer because if you think about it, any seed is an encapsulated promise. It's chock full of all the necessary pieces for new life. A seed is just full of potential. Each and every seed this farmer scatters has the potential to produce life. And so the farmer would go out into the field and reach into his satchel and grab a handful of seed and toss it across the ground. This farmer seems to have little concern of where this seed is thrown and where it falls. As the story begins, the listeners would have just been shocked to hear where these seeds end up. You probably would have heard some gasps from the crowd because this seed is the farmer's livelihood. If these seeds don't fall on good ground, take root and grow, potentially this family doesn't eat. You know, potentially he has nothing to sell. So some seed fell on a beaten path and was eaten by birds. Some fell on rocky soil and began to grow, only to be scorched by the sun. Some fell among thorns. And the seed took root and started to grow, only to be choked out by the weeds. Things don't look good for this farmer until we get to the final location where the seed fell. Some of the seed that was sown falls on fertile ground, ground that's ready to receive the seeds and allow them to take root and grow strong. In fact, these seeds even produce 30, 60, and 100 times more than what was sown. And Jesus ends by saying, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. In other words, don't miss the depth of the meaning of this story. The kingdom is like seed sown generously that takes root and grows. This truth is kingdom treasure. The kingdom is a seed. And that seed is the gospel that's sown into people's hearts. And Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of his parable he told. God's always looking to grow his kingdom in the hearts of people. This kingdom is like seed that is just sown generously and takes root and grows. And each person's heart consists of various types of soil. In some places the kingdom seed can grow, and other places it just can't. So he continues, Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seed. The seed that fell on the footpath, the first soil, represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. And then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hears the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the allure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. It grows, but it doesn't produce fruit. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. Now, as we get into this sermon, I promise you I'm probably going to step on some toes, because I stepped on my own toes putting this thing together. The Holy Spirit was working. So if it happens, don't blame me. It's the Holy Spirit. I give him, it's all his fault. All right? So I want you to just kind of grab that seed that you got as you came in. Hopefully everyone noticed that and got a seed. If you didn't, you can get one on your way out so you can kind of take it with you and remember what this is all about. You know, this is a bean seed. If you would put it in the ground, wait maybe until the spring. It might be too late now, but you'd probably get a plant that would come up if it's a good seed. And so I want to be clear. This morning, the seed of the gospel is being sown. Like a farmer with seed, I am humbled to scatter this good news of the kingdom this morning. And just like in this story that Jesus tells, this seed that's being sown has the potential for life. The same ability to produce a crop. But according to the story, some seeds get the chance to take root and grow because of the soil they fall into, and some don't get a chance to take root and grow. Have you ever tried to grow grass in your backyard in soil that's not really great for growing anything? Have you tried it? You know, maybe there's just too much shade because of the trees. Maybe there's too much clay in that soil or too much sand in the soil. You know, maybe there's just too much foot traffic, and so the dirt just keeps getting compacted, and so seeds don't grow well. And, you know, if you've tried to do it, it can be a very frustrating process. You got to find the right type of grass seed. You got to break up that soil for the seeds to get down into it. You know, you got to make sure that it gets waters enough, but not too much, and make sure there aren't any bad insects or critters destroying the grass as it begins to grow, or birds stealing all your seed. The reality, though, of all those different things, the real reality of the success of getting that grass to grow has everything to do with the quality of the soil that those seeds land in. Jesus is teaching that kind of impact of the truth of the gospel has on our lives has everything to do with the kind of heart condition that we have. Some of our hearts are not conducive to that tiny seed of God's kingdom taking root and growing. However, some of our hearts have rich soil that is ready to receive the truth of God's love. And so the kingdom is a seed, and that seed is the gospel being sown into people's hearts. It is not a problem with the seed. It is a problem with the soil. So as the farmer sows, some of that seed fell on that beaten path. Jesus describes this heart as one that does not understand the good news that it's given. The feeling here is that some people who are given the good news of the kingdom have just no idea what to do with it. This person is kind of unconcerned with the things of God. And this might be someone here. You've heard the things of God discussed so many times that you've lost count. And this person ignores God's guidance in their life. This person doesn't understand God's work in their life, not because of ignorance, but just because of disregard. For so long you have neglected to acknowledge God, and in so doing, you've become hardened like a beaten path, and your heart's become calloused. For many years I taught music lessons. And one of the biggest challenges that a guitar student has is sticking with learning their instrument long enough or practicing their instrument enough that they develop calluses on the ends of their fingers, especially in their left hand. Because see, that hardened skin allows them to no longer feel pain, and it also gives them the ability to press those strings hard enough that when you strum it, it sounds good. This first type of heart Jesus discusses, it's a very dangerous one. You know, many of the time, this person has heard the right things, but just has pushed them away enough times that they're no longer familiar with conviction of the Holy Spirit. They're just kind of numb to it. The outcome here is that when the seed falls, it's stolen away by the evil one so quickly because it's unable to take root at all. And this is one of the scary things about sin. Because see, the first time you give in to a sin, like maybe say to steal something, you usually feel pretty horrible about what you did, especially if you're a believer who's become sensitive to the Holy Spirit's conviction. The first time you give in to any sin, the Holy Spirit's voice screams, "No, don't go this way. This has horrible consequences down the road. Repent, run back to the safety of God's forgiveness." But if you keep giving into this temptation, whatever it might be, eventually it no longer feels like a sin to you. It no longer feels wrong. Your hearts become callous to the Holy Spirit's warnings. Other seed fell on rocky soil. Jesus describes this as a heart that's heard the good news of the gospel, and they have even responded to the gospel of God's kingdom with joy. But when trouble comes, the shallow roots that they had developed is scorched by the sun. You have ever grown your own food in a field, or then you know that rocks are a problem. If you want to have the best harvest, you got to take some time each year to pick up the rocks that have been pushed up through the soil to the top. And too many rocks and the plants you're trying to grow are going to be hindered in their growth. Now, this heart is one that seems to see the gospel as only being attractive when things are going well. They believe that responding to the seed of the gospel should result in a life that is always blessed at all times. And because of this attitude, they never really develop deep roots into the things of God. And so their conversations about God are rather shallow. Their commitment to Jesus remains shallow. The sacrificial living remains kind of shallow. They simply don't have time in their life to read the Bible or pray or connect to God each day. And then when the hard times come, you know, whatever the form those hard times represent, maybe someone gets sick, there's a tragedy, they lose their job, God doesn't come through in the way they thought that he would, and their faith withers. Other seed falls on soil that is full of weeds and thorns. Jesus describes this heart as one that allows the seed of the gospel to grow in their lives, but unfortunately also allows other things to grow in their lives as well. And Jesus actually gives name to these thorns, the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of money, the pursuit of money. And they're distracted hearts. And really, this breaks my heart as a pastor. Because someone, they'll start coming to church, and they'll receive the gospel, and they start growing and getting involved, and all of a sudden, they disappear. And so I'll reach out to them and tell them I miss them. I'll say, you're right, Pastor, I need to get back to church. But many times, they don't. Life's just become too busy. Their faith has been choked out by weeds that were left untended as their faith was initially growing. And maybe you've seen this in a recently built house. You know, as soon as a house is built, a beautiful lawn is put down. Not a weed to be seen anywhere on this lawn. And a new family moves in, and it's a Norman Rockwell scene. But the process of getting settled can take some time. Getting all those boxes unpacked and buying new stuff so that house can become a home, it is really easy to forget about that perfect lawn that's outside. And it usually starts with just a couple of weeds. But almost overnight, some weeds start springing up here and then over here and then over here. And then pretty soon that yard is full of weeds and there's just a little bit of grass. Perhaps in your heart, you've experienced the seed of the gospel, and it's taken root, and it's started to grow, but along the way, you feel your affections and desires swing from the kingdom of God to distractions and things you begin to value more, like how people see you, or maybe more money and stuff, or a latest hobby, a relationship, an addiction, even good things like having fun with your family, and these things begin to receive though all of your time and attention until they just choke out your relationship with God. That's what it's like for someone who has weeds in their life. And then there's one type of soil listed. Thankfully, some seeds fall on what the Bible calls good soil. And I don't know about you, but I want my heart to be good soil. Amen. You know, for the seed that falls on this type of ground, it results in supernatural things happening. It produces a crop that's 30, 60, even 100 times what is sown. Now, what's this crop that grows in our life? It's not the fruit of the Spirit here. It is disciples coming to Christ. It is us taking the gospel message and sharing it with someone else and putting that seed in their life and then seeing that crop grow. That's what God is getting here. That's what Jesus is talking about. And so in the ancient Near East, a farmer would be lucky to have an increase of 20 times what he sowed. That would be pretty good for him. So when this seed produces 30, 60, even 100 times what is sown, this is not something that's natural that's taking place. This is something supernatural, and it's a thing of God. If you've ever lived on a farm that grows crops, or if you know someone who does this, then you know that the majority of a crop farmer's time is spent making sure the soil is ready to receive the seed. It's spent making sure that the ground is fertile, that it's been fertilized, that it's a good, healthy soil. Remember, the problem is not with the seed, it's with the soil. So each year, crop farmers, they take their tractors and they plow and disc and pull through the fields to break up the ground and turn it over to expose that fresh soil before they plant the seeds. So the good news is that you're not stuck with your current state of soil. You know, some of us recognize that the soil in our heart might not be in the best condition to let God's seed grow in us. We need to break up some of that soil in our hearts and maybe remove some rocks and maybe pull out some weeds. For many of us, it's time for us to try something new, to ensure that our heart is in a good place, where that soil is good. You know, maybe it's time to put yourself a part of some godly community. Maybe it's time to spend a little bit more time going deeper into the Scriptures. Maybe it's time to dedicate your life to becoming a prayer warrior, where you're just praying and intercessing for people. Maybe it's time to begin serving here in the church or someplace in our community. Maybe it's time to go on a mission trip, or maybe it's time to repent from some sort of sin and receive the grace of God for that. Maybe you could use some one-on-one time with God and go on a spiritual retreat. The fertile heart produces a harvest in us and through us. And making the ground of your heart fertile, healthy, that process doesn't just happen. It is not a gift of the Holy Spirit that just appears. You have to be intentional about making it happen. It takes sacrificial time. We have to choose. What I love most about this story is that the farmer is incredibly generous with his sowing. Seed falls in every direction, in every location. I don't think Jesus would have told us this parable in this way without this amazing truth that no matter what the condition of your heart is today, God is still casting seed. He's still extending His love and grace to us. And Jesus knows that the soil of our hearts can change as we seek Him, as we open our lives more and more before Him, and as we accept the work that He desires to do within us. You know, I am so thankful for God's patient steadfastness in helping me cultivate fertile soil in my heart. As I look back over my life, God has helped me dig up some hard, stubborn soil. He's helped me remove a ton of rocks from some bad decisions over the years. He's helped me pull up some weeds that the evil one has sown in my life and some weeds that I have allowed to grow up. Just allowing myself to be way too busy. So busy that there were a time in my life where God barely got the crumbs of time reading His Word and praying. Or often I only had time for it on Sunday. And now that I am here, I am still investing time keeping that soil healthy, because soil depletes. And so we've got to be intentional about it. It's not something that's one and done. It's a daily habit of getting in God's Word, of praying, of connecting with Him so that soil can stay soft, so that soil is ready to be heard, ready to be used, ready to be sown into. And of course, if I do the opposite, and I don't do those things, the opposite effect is true. You know, when I start saying no to God's voice or ignore it too completely because I'm just too busy for God, then the soil in my heart is going to start getting a little harder, a little drier, a little more unhealthy. Every time I let the world's ways and the world's words, you know, that are in opposition to the ways of God entertain me, my heart, it gets a little bit more and more unhealthy. Every time I give into a sinful thought or an action or an attitude, a weed sprouts, a rock gets added. And some believers spend their whole Sunday morning worship experience trying to get their soil back to the way it was before, the week before, when they were in church, because of all the worldly junk that has been allowed to just be placed in the soil of their heart from the previous week. From the music that they've listened to each day, to the voices that they let speak into their life, to the TV and movies that they stream, to the junk they consume from Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. This is a spiritually losing battle. We need to get better at protecting our hearts from the world. We need to get better at intentionally cultivating good soil in our hearts by doing the spiritual disciplines of things like prayer and reading God's word and daily worship, even fasting and maybe trying journaling, just trying some of these different things that help us connect more deeply to God. I mean, don't you get exhausted trying to keep up with all those weeds? You know, when you get angry and you find yourself saying things you don't even believe, do you ever wonder where that came from? You know, when you give into a sin that you know is destructive to yourself, to your relationship to God, to your family, do you ever wonder why you gave into that? It's because you haven't protected your heart from the influences of the world. You've got more rocks and weeds and hardness in the soil of your heart than you can deal with in just a Sunday morning weekly worship service. You need to start saying no to some of that worldly junk and start listening to things like Christian music and choosing better choices on TV. You know, just being more discerning in what our mind is taking in. Choose to pick up the Bible rather than endless scrolling on Instagram. Look for some friends that conversations lift people up instead of tearing them down, who like to share positive stories instead of negative ones. We're all a sum of 1,000 little choices we make each day of what we allow to come into our life to influence our mind and to attach itself to our hearts. Now, some things we can't avoid. We don't choose our family. You know, much of what happens at work, we just can't insulate ourselves from. But there's so much that we can avoid. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you? Because He convicted me as I was writing this. So as we close, I want us just to reflect on two questions. First, what is the true condition of the soil of your heart? Just be real honest with yourself between God. Even ask Him, God, how's my heart doing? How's that soil doing? And then second, are you ready to turn to Jesus and let Him do the necessary work in you to help you position yourself to be in a place where the gospel seed can freely grow? Let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that You grow things in us. Thank You that each of us are a work in progress. I am so thankful that You love us no matter the condition of the soil of our heart. And yet You also love us too much that You won't leave us where we are. You are the great gardener who sows seeds in the gospel lavishly. You are the great gardener who tends that soil that seed is sown in. And You are the great gardener who prunes our lives so that we can grow even more fruit. Holy Spirit, Would you help each of us take off our blinders and set aside our excuses so that we can truly understand the condition of the soil of our heart? For some of us, that soil has been hard for decades, and we assume we're doing okay because we no longer feel the sting from your words of a conviction. It's been a long time since we've opened our hearts to you and confessed our sin. Oh God, soften the soil of that person's heart. For some of us, the soil is rather rocky around our heart. Our roots in you are really rather shallow. There was a time maybe when we were on fire for you, but then something has happened. Maybe someone we prayed for wasn't healed. Maybe someone from the church wounded us with some harsh words. We somehow thought life would get easier as a Christian, but instead it got a whole lot harder, and our faith faltered. And now we just go to church out of habit or obligation. The joy of the Lord has long ago vanished. Oh God, would you remove the rocks of that person's life? Restore the relationship they once had with you with joy, peace, and love. For some of us, maybe for a lot of us, the soil is full of weeds. We believe in you, Jesus. We want to grow in our faith, but we'd just rather it not be too inconvenient. We don't want to get too radical, God. We don't want to stick out in a crowd to become some sort of Jesus freak. We just want enough of you to feel okay about ourselves. We do want to be forgiven. We want to be set free from our issues. But we also want to be able to decide what is right and what is wrong, rather than letting the Bible put a box around us. And we want to be the one who decides how we use our free time. Oh God, soften the soil of that person's heart. Help them to see that even now the weeds are choking out their relationship with you, God. The weeds are taking over and they don't even see it. There have been way too many people who have just slipped away because the cares of this world became more important and they don't even remember making such a life-altering, eternal decision. Holy Spirit, wake us up. Stir our hearts. Open our eyes to the truth of the condition of the soil of our heart. And may more and more of us be like the one whose soil was good. We so good that the seed planted in us grew crops of 30 and 60 and 100 times more than the seed was planted. Oh God, how long has it been since we've shared our testimony with someone? How long has it been since we've been intentional to plant some seeds so we could see a harvest because of the seed that was planted in us? Oh, may we be convicted if it has been a long time. Because part of a good soil is that it produces seed. And part of a bad soil is that it just produces weeds. God, would you help us to see what you're calling us to do? Would we just break for the hearts of those around us that are far from you? And may we overcome our fears and ambitions to maybe do something as small as take that little Jesus and give it to somebody and tell them we'll pray for them. May we have the courage to share our God story of what you've done in our life with our kids and with our neighbors and our best friends and those we go play golf with and those we just enjoy our free time with. God, may we be ambassadors for you with good soil in our hearts, where we're seeing you do some incredibly amazing, beautiful things. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.